For our scripture consideration for this morning, I will be reading out of Psalms chapter 50, beginning at the first verse. The mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous around about him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. It's always humbling to stand before my brothers and sisters. And indeed it is pleasing to sit under the ministry of the music and songs that have been sung this day. That it brings joy to my soul. And it is well with your God, and it's well with our souls, that we have gathered here to his house this day, that we might break forth the words of life that he has given us. And my scripture, opening scripture, it talks about out of Zion a perfection. And that perfection has to come in the lives of each one of you and me. And it only come as we respond to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to do his will, to be obedient to him. Gather together unto me those that have made covenant with me by sacrifice. Now, I don't know about you, but I think sometimes I make a lot of sacrifices. Now, I don't know how many of you have the blue hymnal. I had it this morning, and I didn't run it off, but there's a hymn in there at, I think it's 466 or something like that, toward the end of the... That the name of the hymn is Follow Me. In the first part of it, the words of that hymn go, you know, well, boy, I've done so much. I've done this and I've done that. And I've given all. In the second part of the hymn is the response of the master to those words. That he came and gave his life. He carried that cruel cross and was crucified for you and me, that we might have eternal life and that he might take upon him our sins. In Romans, in the 12th chapter, again, that first verse. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what that good and acceptable and perfect will of God is. One Sunday after church, we were driving home on 78 Highway, and the Lord spoke these words to my mind, basically asked me this question. What is it you seek for? And so I pondered on that statement. I've had that statement for some time now. Still pondering on that statement. What is it that I seek for? At one time in my life, I sought to have my name on a piece of ground that I could call mine. And over the years, I realized that it wasn't mine to begin with. That it was the Lord's. And I was steward over it for a number of years. What is it that you seek for? When my boys were little, Lord, allow me to live long enough to see them graduate from high school. And then it was, Lord, allow me to see them get through college. To find their companions. And today I seek that they might grab hold of the everlasting gospel that the Lord has put before each of us. And that they might have the faith that it takes to endure to the end, that they might be worthy servants, loyal to the responsibilities which they have at home, and loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ. In the scripture I read, out of Romans, there's two verses and there's kind of two parts to it. One is our response that our bodies become a living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. The other part is that we might know and accept what the perfect will of God is for us. I have visited with a number of brethren over the last few weeks, going to graduations and various things. And it seems to be that the adversary is well at work in these last days. And many are troubled about how to be effective in the ministry of Jesus Christ, that they might bring souls into Him, and that they might receive. Uh, we have to be able to, or willing to, seek what the will of God is for us. Many times in our prayers, we seek for our needs, what we want, what we would have the Lord do for us. And yet our prayers need to be such that is, Almighty God, in the name of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, what is it that you would have me do? And each one of us, because we all have different things that the Lord would have us do in His kingdom, but each one of us need to seek out what the mind and will of God is for us. And then we need to move out in faith to go about that task which He has placed before us. In Hebrews, I will read just a few examples. Of course, first it reads that now faith is assurance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And then it goes on to a long list, and I'll read a few of them. Of brethren that had responded to the prompting of the Lord's Spirit. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God translated him, for before his translation, he had his testimony that he pleased God. Brothers and sisters of Christ's church, do you have the testimony that the things that you're doing is pleasing to God? You know, over the years, being pastor, you always wonder if you're doing what the Lord wants you to do and ministering to the people the way that the Lord would have you give ministry. Bringing in those that can edify the body. One occasion, a brother spoke to me under the influence of the Spirit, giving me that assurance. But I should have been close enough to my God that I had the assurance that the things that I was doing would be pleasing. And each of us need to walk that close with our Lord. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark, saying of his house, to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world because and became heirs of righteousness, which is by faith. Brothers and sisters, how many of us are willing to build an ark in our backyard? If the Lord told us to go build a ship would we respond? See, this is what the Lord's requiring of us. This is our reasonable service. That when we know the mind and will of God, that we move out. And we move out in faith, as these brethren did. Now, I've heard it said many times, well, we just need to move out in faith. Can you move out in faith if you don't know what the will of God is? Faith is moving out as you know and understand the will of God that He has for you. That which He has given us in the Scriptures. That of seeking forth and establishing the cause of Zion. That of becoming a righteous generation. I heard a testimony this week that a brother shared of some family members that he had two, three generations ago. A brother was a missionary and was sent to a foreign land. And his daughter became gravely ill. His wife, knowing the responsibility that her husband had was placed upon him, hesitated to write him in her correspondence of her health, the health of the daughter. And finally, the daughter got so sick that she was afraid that she would die. And she wrote a letter to her husband, and he left the missionary field and came home. And he thought that they needed to seek that their daughter might be ministered to. And his daughter didn't get better. And then as he conversed with the Lord, the Lord told him that you are to give ministry and not to receive. And as his daughter laid there sick, him and his wife conversed, and he decided that he needed to go back into the missionary field. And the record that his wife records is that the minute he closed the door and went back to do that which the Lord had commanded him to do, had called him to do, his daughter began to receive strength and recovered from her illness. That's what responded to the commandments of God can do. The blessings and the promises are there. And I have testimony of those that have had the testimony of a God, what they should do. And then when they didn't respond, that which came upon their families wasn't good. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and went out, not knowing whether he went. That's one thing that I conversed with our priesthood about when I was at Adrian. And that's one thing each of us as priesthood in this church need to be willing to do. and even members. If the Lord calls us, we hear His voice saying, you need to go here or thither. We need to be willing to take up our cross and follow His commands. Now, brothers and sisters, that's a sacrifice. That's a sacrifice that these people made, Enoch and Noah and Abraham. Of doing that which is told with persecution, not knowing whether they go, and having faith and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ that He would provide. You know, the old missionaries, when they went out, they didn't have money. Most of them, as you read the autobiographies, didn't have tickets for trains or passage for boats. But they moved out in faith, believing that the Lord, as He commanded them to go, that He would provide every moment in every way. Today we want our round ticket passports or round ticket trips to go. There were some, as you read in the testimonies, that were tried to see if they would respond. Just a little bit. Before the Lord would go on and give them that which He desired eventually for them to do. Do you suppose maybe that you've been tried just a little bit as the Lord has prompted you from time to time to go see a sister? To pick up the phone and call someone? Or go to the hospital and visit? To see if you would respond to the promptings of the Spirit of the living God? A brother called me this past week. And asked me if I would go over to Blue Springs at the hospital to administer to, I didn't know who it was. It was the man's wife when we got there. And he says I had, that he had contacted four other elders to go with him. One said he would, and then when he got home, called him back and said he couldn't. Others wouldn't go, and it just tears me up times when I've had some brother call me and ask me to go. I'm still in the field and can't make it. But I'd walked in the house that night, getting off work, and my phone rang and my brother called me. And I said, sure. We went to the hospital and it was a change in the shift. His wife was in intensive care unit. He says they changed their records or let the next shift know where they're at or whatever. And he says it usually takes them about an hour or so. We visited in the parking lot and then went in to administer. The lady has some heart problems and with her veins has had strokes before. And we administered to her and we left and visited again in the parking lot for some time. I hadn't seen her brother for a while. I told him, I said, well, Tina, and I'll try to get down Thursday night maybe or so to see her. I didn't believe or think that she would be out. He calls me the next day about noon. He says, "You don't need to worry about coming Thursday. I'm picking her up and I'm taking her home." The Lord is gracious, and He knows that which we need in our lives. I want us to consider another person that responded to the call. And because of time, I won't read as much as I would have. But it's about the Apostle Paul, the man called Saul that persecuted the saints of the church severely. And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And then in his response that he listened to the commandments of the Lord, that they might take their journey to Damascus. Here's another example of one responding to the Holy Spirit. "And there was a certain disciple in Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, 'Ananias,' and he said, 'Behold, I am here, Lord.' And the Lord said unto him, 'Arise and go into the streets, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight.'" And it goes on and rehearses that Ananias had heard of this Saul and the persecution which he'd given the saints. And yet Ananias went forth and did as the Lord had commanded him. Ministered to Saul that he received his sight. And it goes on and says, "For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake," speaking of Paul. And if you read the writings of Paul, you know the great things that he suffered through his life as he went about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and sharing his testimony of that which the Lord had given him. When you get into the latter part of Acts, this must have been quite a testimony because he recites it at least two other times that is mentioned in Acts as he's visiting with different people, different nations. And the Lord says, the ministry of Paul was to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by the faith that is in me. Brothers and sisters, go home. And read in Lectures of Faith in the 6th chapter. Or if you have the book, read the whole thing. But in particular, what I had studied for today. Was that about sacrifice? And that about the knowledge we need to come to of our God and the promises that He has for us. What is it that you seek forth for? Do you seek for the celestial kingdom? Do you seek for eternal life in the presence of the Father and of the Son and the fullness which is in them? Such was and always will be the situation of the saints, that unless they have an actual knowledge that the course which they are pursuing is in accordance with the will of God, they will grow weary in their minds and faint. I'm working with a couple families right now that are beginning to question their testimonies. Picking up, you know, the scripture says to read the scriptures and other good books. They're picking up books which I consider not good books. And it's bringing doubt into their mind. And we know that in Lectures of Faith, where doubt is, faith cannot be. But those who have not made a sacrifice unto God do not know the course that they are pursuing is well-pleasing in His sight. For wherever may be their belief or their opinion, it is a matter of doubt and uncertainty in their minds. And where doubt is and uncertainty are, their faith is not, nor can be. For doubt and faith do not exist in the same person at the same time. So that person whose mind is under doubt and fears cannot have unshaken confidence. And where unshaken confidence is not, their faith is weak. And where faith is weak, the person will not be able to contend against all the opposition, tribulation, and afflictions which they will have to encounter in order to be heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And they will grow weary in their minds, and the adversary will have power over them and destroy them. Brothers and sisters, that's why there's a division in the church today. Division upon division. Because brothers and sisters haven't taken the time to get the assurance that they are doing the will of God and following after His commandments. And thus it is our responsibility that we follow and seek the will of God as individuals and as a congregation. That the works which we do in these latter days might be pleasing unto Him. That our lives might be a living testimony to those we come in contact with. In Deuteronomy, in the 10th chapter, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. To keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heavens and the heavens of heavens is the Lord's, thy God, the earth also with all therein is. And that's including you and me. A few weeks ago, when we went to rode with Tony down to Oklahoma, and they sang a song that I'd never heard the words to before. And the song is in the little group gray beige hymnal that's put out by Odessa. And the name of the song is I Surrender All. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me Jesus, take me now. All to Jesus I surrender, make me Savior wholly Thine. Let me feel Thy Holy Spirit, truly know that Thou art mine. All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy loving love and power. Let Thy blessings fall upon me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. That's what's going to be required of us in these the last days. To surrender unto Jesus our all. Seeking to put Him first in our lives. Again, I ask, what is it that you seek for? In closing, I want to share a couple scriptures. Therefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And back again in Acts. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. May we remember the call to worship this day, that we become a sanctified people. God bless.